Hello, and welcome to the Comics Ate My Brain Weekly Roundup Podcast. I'm Tom Bondurant, and this week we'll be talking about comics from September 30th, 2009, including the Astro City Astra Special, number 1, Blackest Night Titans, number 2, Gotham City Sirens, number 4, Green Lantern, number 46, Justice League of America 80-page Giant, number 1, Superman, number 692, Unknown Soldier, number 12, and Wonder Woman, number 36. And we begin with the Astro City Astra Special, which was written by Kurt Busiek and drawn by Brent Anderson. This is a two-issue miniseries focusing on Astra First. She is the now college-age member of the superheroic First family, which is obviously based pretty loosely on the Fantastic Four. And she's, if I'm counting correctly, she's the second generation Fantastic Four. This issue follows her graduation party and has scenes with her friends and her boyfriend and her family. And it's a lot of setup, so I'm reluctant to pass final judgment on it now. It's filled with a lot of moments, and I'm not sure what exactly they come together to form. The climax of it is a scene with her and her boyfriend where they prepare to enter this other dimension. And, of course, his relationship to her is the normal guy who isn't quite sure how to relate to all the fantastic goings-on around him. That's pretty familiar in terms of a plot, in terms of characterization. Astra also has an offer from another group of young superheroes to join their team. So a lot of big decisions, I guess, that we see her making or having made, and I suppose they'll all get paid off next issue. The merits of it are pretty high. I mean, it's a pretty standard issue of Astro City, which, you can't really go wrong with Astro City generally. And this isn't the best issue of Astro City I've ever read, but it's far from the worst. So I'll wait to see what happens next issue. Next is Blackest Night Titans, number 2, written by J.T. Kroll, drawn by Ed Benes with some inks by Scott Williams. And essentially, it's three fight scenes, one involving Terra versus the rest of the Teen Titans and Titans at Titans Tower. And that's done pretty well. Terra controls the Earth, the geology, basically. So her versus Titans Tower doesn't end well for Titans Tower. There's also Hawk versus Hawk. The original Hawk of Hawk and Dove comes back from the dead as a Black Lantern and fights the current Hawk, who is the sister of the current Dove. That's not really important, I don't guess. That's just kind of there. And then the cover feature is Donna Troy versus her Black Lantern-fied ex-husband and infant son. And this is the part of the issue that I thought was rather tasteless, because essentially it is a dead baby attacking its mother and turned into a zombie. And that's a horrific image. And I'm not saying that as a general rule, Black Lantern infants are off limits. They're pretty close to off limits, but I, try to keep an open mind. But the way that baby Robbie is portrayed, the way he's drawn, I find that to be tasteless because it's a little too gruesome. Even it goes beyond just here's a reanimated corpse of an infant. It's like this is literally a reanimated corpse of an infant, and we make no attempt to prettify it, which makes it even more, to me, it makes it even more horrible. So I hate to condemn a comic for one of its ideas, but I feel like I can condemn it for its execution. No pun intended. You know, do what you want to Black Lantern Terry Long. Make him as disgusting as you want. And indeed, there are some other disgusting things that happen to Black Lanterns in this issue and in the other Blackest Night tie-in miniseries and, of course, in Blackest Night itself. But, you know, leave the kids out of it. I think that's all I'm saying. The issue itself, you know, just to sum up before I leave it behind, I like the stuff with Tara. The stuff with Hawk was okay. With the two Hawks was okay. But again, Baby Robbie, over the top. Sticking with Blackest Night, it's Green Lantern number 46, written by Jeff Johns, penciled by Doug Monkey, and inked by Christian Alamy. A lot of plot in this one because Hal gets plucked by the Indigo Tribe off of Earth. Hal meets up with Star Sapphire, well, Carol Ferris, Star Sapphire, and Sinestro on, I think they're on Korugar. I'm not, it doesn't really make a difference to the story, but essentially this is the issue where Sinestro finds out how to stop the Black Lanterns and fights Mongol for, yeah, they are on Korugar, fights Mongol for control of the Yellow Lantern Corps, which originally was called the Sinestro Corps, and judging by the outcome of this issue, will probably be called the Sinestro Corps again. So, as with the previous issue of Green Lantern, it's going to be pretty impenetrable to someone who hasn't been reading Blackest Night, and I suppose that's appropriate considering how heavily invested Green Lantern is in Blackest Night. There's not really an attempt to bring anybody up to speed. This follows pretty much from Blackest Night, I think number 3, whatever the latest issue is. And that's fair. I think all things considered, if you've been reading Green Lantern for any length of time, you know you ought to be reading Blackest Night. So I don't fault it for that. I continue to like Monkey and Alamy's work. I think they are ideal for this sort of comic. They do a lot better than I compared them to Ethan Van Sciver. I think they move better than their figures move more fluidly than say his do, and their crowd scenes I think are better organized and a little easier to follow than Ivan Reis and Eau Claire Albert. I don't dislike any of those other artists, but I just think that Monkey and Alamy do a really fine job with all the heavy lifting that a big epic like Blackest Night demands. The one, I did have a couple of sequences that were hard to follow. On the very first page, panel 3, it took me a couple of times going through, since Zamoran is under attack by evil Sinestro Corps lanterns and other big monster-looking lanterns, it took me a while to realize that the thing in panel 3 is actually the Star Sapphire, avatar, or the Predator is what it's called, but it's the Star Sapphire version of the Parallax Bug, the green willpower whale. And then later on in the opening battle between the Sinestros and the Black Lanterns and the Star Sapphires, there is a Sinestro Corpsman who looks like he's been eaten by this green thing, but I suppose that the green thing is actually the Sinestro Corpsman. I wasn't familiar with this particular one. But again, it took me a little bit to realize that that the green thing was a Sinestro Corpsman and not something constructed by a Green Lantern, since it's, you know, the exact same shade as a Green Lantern construct. So a little bit of exposition might have helped there. But other than that, I thought this was a good installment of Blackest Night. Probably not the best standalone issue of Green Lantern. But again, if you've been following Green Lantern for any length of time, you probably shouldn't expect that at this point. Next up is Gotham City Sirens number 4. I bought this issue. It's written by Paul Dini and drawn by Guillaume March. I bought this issue essentially to see where the Harley Quinn kidnapped by Bruce Wayne plot was going. It starts out with some promise as we check back in with the Joker, who has seen Harley on TV with Bruce Wayne. I thought Harley and Bruce Wayne were being kidnapped last issue. Shows you how much the plot of last issue has stuck in my mind. The issue itself is, it's pretty fun on its own. It essentially involves the Joker versus Bruce Wayne, who, as we know, is not the real Bruce Wayne. And it ends on a cliffhanger, kind of the Joker. Well, it would take too long to explain the Joker's motivations. It goes a little beyond jealousy. But the art, I thought, was pretty good. And Dini's script is nicely over the top, as befits the Joker. I mean, the Joker uses both a custom blimp and the familiar Dick Sprang designed Joker mobile from the 50s. So, that pushed a couple of favorable buttons for me right there. I'm not sure that I'm completely sold on Gotham City Sirens as an ongoing prospect. You know, I'm not sure that I'm going to be reading it every month. But, and even with the cliffhanger, I'm not sure that I'm going to be coming back next month. But, I don't know. We'll see. This wasn't the nail in the coffin that I was kind of thinking it was going to be. Anyway, next up is the Justice League of America 80-page giant number 1. It is a fun issue. It involves Epoch, who was formerly known as the Lord of Time before Grant Morrison got a hold of him. He sends pairs of Justice Leaguers back through time, where they can each conveniently team up with a classic DC hero from that time period and maybe even fight a DC villain from the appropriate time period. It is written and drawn by a bunch of different people, but it all holds together pretty well. And it's a clever use of the classic JLA format. Probably the vignettes I enjoyed the most. Oh, and it brings back the team of Snapper Carr and the Cheetah, who had a one-night stand back in the Final Crisis Resist special. I'm trying to remember if it was Resist or Submit. I'm pretty sure it was Resist. Anyway, some nice stuff here. Zatanna and Black Canary meet the original Crimson Avenger in a story by written by Josh Williamson and drawn by Bit in a nice Bit uses kind of a half, well, it's kind of a painted, sort of washed out style. None of it is really groundbreaking, let's say, but it's all pretty fun. And anyway, I'm getting off the track. I'm flipping through it here. I liked the Black Canary and Zatanna team up with the Crimson Avenger. I liked Green Arrow and the Bride of Frankenstein versus Ra's al Ghul. And I did like Wonder Woman as a pirate queen saving Steel from slavery and then fighting Starro. So if you want some classic JLA action in a nice little $5 package. Oh, excuse me, $6. Then this is the book for you. Next up is, let's skip ahead in the alphabetical order just for a second, to Unknown Soldier number 12, written by Joshua Dysart and drawn by Alberto Ponticelli. It is the final issue of Easy Kill, the Unknown Soldier versus the Angelina Jolie at his own memorial banquet storyline. And as you might expect, nothing really goes particularly well for anyone. But it's all pretty entertaining. It's more of an action issue than I would have expected. The CIA agent, whose name I think is Hal, plays into it pretty well. And the soap opera aspects with Moses' wife and his old girlfriend are handled well, too. And the Angelina Jolie pastiche has a nice little nervous breakdown, and that kind of puts a nice period to the storyline. So, another good issue of Unknown Soldier. I'm going to have to think up new and interesting ways of saying that. Next up is Superman number 692, written by James Robinson, penciled by Fernando Dagnino. Standard caveat about faulty pronunciation applies, and inked by Raul Fernandez. This, like Green Lantern, is sort of, I see a lot of people online saying, if you haven't been reading all dozen or so, there's not a dozen Superman books, but if you haven't been reading the four Superman books, then you're going to be kind of lost in this issue, because it concerns some of the fallout from Codename Patriot, which is Metropolis is currently without water. So it opens up with the Justice Society trying to be super plumbers. It again follows, or we see more of Morgan Edge in the perhaps stereotypical right-wing paranoid blowhard, I should say, role. It features more drama about Mon-El, thanks to The Guardian, The Guardian's eulogy for Mon-El. And it ends on a surprising twist, also involving Mon-El. And about halfway through, it shows you more of the mysterious woman who's been helping General Lane, as she seems to have captured Zatara. So, you know, I know, it's all kind of frustrating, you know, trying to piece a single story out of these little vignettes. I suppose they're all decent on their own. And again, I don't really fault the Superman books for tying into one another like this. Dagnino and Fernandez's art is serviceable. It won't make anybody forget Renato Guedes or Jamal Eagle, although it is kind of gets closer to Jamal Eagle's work than Guedes. But, you know, it moves things forward. I'm interested to see how long they're going to keep Mon-El dead, considering that he's so prominent in the new JLA, or in the upcoming JLA. But I suppose that's why I keep reading the things every week. And finally, it's Wonder Woman number 36, written by Gail Simone, penciled by Aaron Lopresti, and inked by Matt Ryan. This issue finds Diana taking on Achilles and bonding with Giganta. Giganta and Wonder Woman actually have some girl talk about Wonder Woman's broken engagement, and meanwhile, what's this woman's name? Alcione gets a proposal from Achilles. So, you know, everybody's talking about marriage at, you know, in one stage or another. And we even get to see the golden lasso play into Wonder Woman's romantic relationship, which is kind of nice. So it's mostly talk, not a lot of action. Although, as I say, Wonder Woman does fight Achilles, as the cover promises. And it ends with some more political maneuvering by Achilles. It's an enjoyable issue. It kind of answers a question that I had about Wonder Woman and Tom Tresser's relationship. And I think between the flashbacks that explain that and Wonder Woman sort of talking things out with Giganta, who Simone reminds us is still dating the Atom, so she's not entirely evil. Between those two things, I think that's a pretty good update on the status of the engagement. It lets Tom out of the relationship with a little bit more dignity than, you know, if he'd just been the normal guy who said, I can't handle this. And it shows you the depth of commitment that Diana had to him, which in itself is kind of heartbreaking. You know, if you're invested in Diana's emotional health. So, and it's all depicted, you know, with Lopresti and Ryan's usual flair. They're a good team, I think, for this book. I'm trying to think of how long they've been on the book, at least a year. Probably about 18 months. So, again, another good issue of Wonder Woman, and I will have to find new and interesting ways of saying that. And with that, we'll bring this episode of the podcast to a close. Thanks, as always, for listening, and I will talk to you next time.